Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Today, I have my co-host, Dr. James Lee, with me today. James, hi.
Hey, Ed, welcome. I mean, hello, and thank you for welcoming me. And it's great to be back. I always love doing shows with you, Ken.
I love it. You know, we're going to talk about a radical approach to meditation today. And we're also going to throw in some courage. Well, you know, there's about 14 to 17% of the population in the United States that's currently meditating, right? Which is a pretty good number, you know, 35 million people or so. And gee, imagine what we could do if we could up that level, right? What if we could up that to 20%, 30% of the population? You know, my personal experience, I've been a meditator for 3 decades now, actually a little longer. And, you know, when we can still our mind, I believe stillness is the price of greatness. When we can still our mind and go into deeper states of consciousness, we get the answers to just about everything. Now, today we're going to be talking about a meditation approach that you don't have to still your mind. Okay. There's other ways to do this. And we have an expert on there today that's going to be talking about that. James, are you a meditator? You meditate at all?
You know, I am I have a certain form of meditation. I play music, and I believe that I believe that some form of meditation is important to your health and the organizational ability of your brain to kind of come together and toward a common goal. And music, whether it's music or meditation, whether it's prayer, there's got to be some part of your day that you've put towards some intention to be mindful about bringing your brain together. And so, for example, music, everything in my brain has to come together to create sound, to think about a melody. And when you hear what you're doing, same thing with meditation, when you think or reverberate about what you're meditating about, you become one, and your neurons actually synchronize their frequency. So they're working together. And when that happens, that's kind of when your brain says, I'm at peace, I'm working, I know what I'm doing, things are good. So yes, I'm a firm believer in all forms of meditation.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, you know, there's many reasons that some of you out there aren't meditating. You know, you're telling me that you don't have enough time, right? Yeah. Now we're going to hopefully solve that today. Everybody has a restless mind. You know, that's another thing that stops people. Your mind's too restless. I can't sit. And yeah, well, okay. We all start somewhere, you know, and I know I started with a very restless mind. I couldn't sit still for 5 minutes. And, you know, sometimes people have unrealistic expectations. You know, they want to see some kind of phenomena. They think that meditation is going to help them to, have riches or something. Yeah. But, you know, it's really about learning how to go within and tune back into your soul, tune back into your own self, your own spirit, and be able to take away that peace and bring it into all areas of your life. That's how.
Yes, you talked about being restless, and I think about in terms of the brain being. How about this? Our brains are always on. Our brains have to think about something, and most people end up thinking about the things they need to do, or the things they have to get done, or the things they haven't yet done. Relatively negative thoughts. And when your brain latches onto those, you get kind of stuck in that. What meditation does, or music, or is an intention to pull yourself away from that with a singular focus. And it meditate, well, at least for me, before I used to think meditation was about emptying your mind. It's actually more about focusing your mind with the intention on whether it's, you know, peace, or whether it's unity, whether it's joy, whatever that your brain now is thinking about that one thing. And so I think that's what the main benefit is.
Well, I think, you know, from my experience, yeah, it's learning to, you know, when you can focus, you can concentrate. And, you know, I do a stillness meditation, a Kriya yoga meditation. And, you know, you're focusing on the third eye here, and you're bringing energy up and down the chakras. That's one form of meditation. There's a lot of different forms of meditation out there. And you know, today we're going to be talking about some radical forms of meditation with our guests. So I think what we'll do, let's go pay some bills, let's take a break, and then when we get back, we'll have our guest right with us. How does that sound?
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want. Just return it for a full refund. Show us those who are brave, and we will show you a voice of courage. Show us those who speak truth to ignorance, and we will show you a voice of courage. Show us those who have uplifted their consciousness, and we will show you those who are changing the world. These are the voices we amplify. Welcome to Voices of Courage, a show that highlights ordinary people making an extraordinary impact. Each episode, we bring you the untold truth from leaders, scientists, innovators, and changemakers who inspire brilliance and ignite transformation. Join us on Voices of Courage, because words matter. And with courage, you have the power to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, I think that this is Scandy Fluster and my co-host, Dr. James Lee, with me today. And we're very blessed to have Will Johnson with us. Will, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
That's great. Well, for those of you that don't know Will, he is the director of the Institute for Embodiment Training and the founder of the Bamboo Hukto, a retreat center in Costa Rica that views the body as the doorway to spiritual growth and transformation. He's the author of several books, including Breathing Through the Whole Body and Eyes Wide Open. He teaches a deeply body-oriented approach to sitting meditation at the Buddhist centers around the world. Will, great to have you.
Wow.
You know, we're just talking about Costa Rica, you know, being out there, being in nature. Wow, it's, you know, like...
Yeah, my first question is, how did you end up in Costa Rica?
How did I end up in Costa Rica? I first came down in 2000. I had a son who was a good enough swimmer that he was invited to a Canadian swim camp. And that's when I came down, discovered this place. And then when my wife and I, all of our conjoined kids, were off on their own, we realized we could move from Canada down here, and we just went for it. So it was a good decision.
So how did you, okay, so how long have you been meditating? How long have you been?
Okay, so I got obsessed with this posture of sitting over 15 years ago. And, you know, during that time, I've been fortunate. I've had wonderful teachers from all the major Dharma traditions, Vipassana, Zen, Vajrayana. I never formally affiliated myself, you know, with any one of them. I always preferred to explore the denominator that was common to all of them, which is you sit down. You know, you sit down formally, you sit down to meditate. And what appeared to me, or you know, this is what occurred as I kept exploring, was that the orientation towards sitting that was coming over from Asia was in real need of reformation. All too often, people would come out of these retreats. How was the retreat? Oh, the wisdom teachings were very cool, but it was so painful, sitting for all these long hours like a stone garden statue of the Buddha. Well, that is neither loving nor kind to yourself. And over the decades, just what started happening was an awakening through the body with sensations, actual palpable sensations, that as they kept moving through, breath started opening, liberating. You know, a lot of this comes from traditional passages from the Buddhist instructions. And the reality is that with very few exceptions, most of the establishment Dharma that's coming over from Asia, they aren't going to those instructions because they're about awakening the body. They're not just about stilling or calming the mind, as wonderful as that is.
Well, listen, I question that, okay? Because, you know, I'm in a tradition that we still find, we get very still, and we go into higher, you know, I go breathless, and I go into very high states of consciousness. And it's bliss, it's beyond belief. And, you know, and then I come back and do my life. So how is this form of meditation different than that?
Yeah. Actually, I want to first say, you know, I love what you're doing. And if I'm correct about this, a lot of your focus is kind of in this center of the body. Isn't that so?
Well, it depends.
And then of course, the energy.
I'm in the higher chakras. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. So what I play with here is not so much narrowing the focus in any one place. It's about awakening this feeling presence of body as a unified field all at once. You know, one of my go-to persons has been, I've been fortunate, I've gone deeply into the Sufi mystic and poet Rumi, right? And all the poetry that I was, you know, able to help one of the translators was translating a lot of that poetry when it first started coming into English. But one of the things that I always loved about Rumi, he said that he was taught a practice from his father, mystic in his own right, that the awakening doesn't just happen in any one location in the mind or in the heart, but needs to be felt throughout the body. So that's what that's the play that I'm doing. Now, for me, that's what alleviates the chronic pain, the holding of pain that, let's be honest, is with us all our lives.
You know, and I like the idea of involving the whole body because we talk about my form of meditation, which is music. And I think that when you are truly in that zone, when you're truly in that flow, when you feel one with what you're doing, and it's really your whole body that gets into it. You forget that you have individual parts. You forget that, you know what, I got to move my finger to do. No, it's my whole body trying to do that. And so I love that idea, and I couldn't believe more firmly in that's part of our healing experience, that part of telling our body, hey, you know what? We're at peace and not war. And the way I like to think about it is, if our country is at war, are we worried about our roads and our bridges? No, we're worried about, you know, putting up arms. And so I think the same with our body. If we are telling our bodies we're at war, it's not going to build our bodies back. We're going to expend our energy in terms of using that or propelling that body. We're not going to build that body. So I think that is part and parcel to our recovery, our regeneration, and our healing. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you. And I really get that. And I want to say that I've been enjoying hearing you talk about You know, your sense of meditation, you know, and especially about music, that could be another conversation. I'm a musician.
Well, listen, I want to reel this back in here because, you know, I know there's a lot of people watching the show today and, you know, they're not convinced that they want to do any kind of meditation. Okay. You know, we have, you know, 13, 14, 50% of the population, you know, in the States that are meditating. Now, by the way, that's a lot higher in a lot of other countries. You go to India, it's like off the chart, right? But, you know, people aren't convinced. So what are the benefits, Will, of this type of meditation for the audience?
Okay, so it's interesting. This is very bodily oriented, and that's my background, guys. I was one of Ida Rolf's early students. You know, she developed this form of very deep hands-on work, but she had teaching that she believed would lead to evolutionary transformation. It had to do, it had to do with playing with upright balancing. It had to do with, letting a breath. When you inhale, an expansion through the whole body, like an amoeba, and retracting. So my orientation has always been very bodily oriented. And what I found, you know, when I would do sitting practices for a long time, I'm very grateful to all of my teachers. They, you know, launched me on this path. But hour after hour, day after day, it could be so painful in the body. And especially as a Rolfer, that didn't feel right to me. There had to be a different kind of way. So, you know, what I'm doing here, and especially for people, you know, I think of the Dharma world, people who've sat 10-day retreats, week-long sesshins, month-long datuns, and there's so much pain. This approach to the practice is way more user-friendly, immeasurably more comfortable, and actually takes you, this is my experience, far deeper and far more rapidly into the revelation realms, the awakening that the teachings, you know, are giving us permission to open to. So, you know, for me, over and above these, what might be called spiritual revelations of this, you know, different, altogether natural, but different dimension of consciousness, it's about, it's about a breathing play that really helps heal both physical and emotional body. So, you know, that's what's so for me, maybe why I got attracted to this or this form of practice evolved through me is that I've always had a lot of body pain from the time I was a little kid. So my journey was, okay, how do we deal with this? And then as I started sitting and as I've developed over the decades, and I've got, like, given myself permission to do the practices, you know, it's developed into what we're experiencing here today. So,
well, listen, James and I, we got to take a break here, and then we'll come back here. But this is fascinating, and I know you have a new book out. I want to acknowledge that. I want to bring that into our conversation, and let's see where we go. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my co-host, Dr. James Lee and Will Johnson, in just a minute. But I wanted to let you know that you can subscribe to this channel on our YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, youtube.com/thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/thecouragenetwork. You'll not only be able to get all of our shows, you'll be able to pass them out to your family and friends and those you care about so that they can also heal any area of their life that they're having challenges with. So we hope you'll take us up on that. And now back to our guests. All right, everybody. Good to have you back.
Oh, glad to be back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. All right, so listen. Will has a new book out. Yeah, I'm going to put that on the screen. Unfortunately, Dr. James, we're going to move you out for a second, but here's Will's new book, and it's called The Radical Path of a Somatic Dharma. The Radical Path of Somatic Dharma. Will, why did you write the book? What is Somatic Dharma, and why would anybody want to buy it? Three questions.
Okay, lots of questions. Well, this has been my life, kind of continue to explore how this whole awakening through the body can occur. Because this is where, well, there's my own experience of what was necessary. I also see it as where Buddhism needs to, the direction it needs to move into. Every time it's migrated to a new territory, it's changed, totally changed. Goes to Japan, samurai, gets fierce. Goes on to Tibet, suddenly there's deities, wrathful and peaceful deities. It's coming over here. We're starting to see that the approach towards sitting can be so rigidly painful for most people. And we're also seeing that rigidity is blocking something like the Buddhist Dharma from kind of delivering the goods. It keeps breath very small, and it often just keeps people very, very tense, very taut. And I do see that very rigid holding still keeps on spiking, fueling the already out of control, what I call the ticker tape, parade of random and bidden thought. So, this for me has been my sense of, well, of what, where my path led me, over 50 years ago. And, the people that are getting this.
Yeah. Well, what is somatic dharma?
Somatic body oriented dharma, the teachings of the Buddha. So much of meditation practice is very mentally focused. This to me is totally important and foundational, but it's very mentally focused. It's about mind. It's about concentrating the mind. All of us who've done these practices, we were talking about this before the start of the show, what you've done. It's very, very wonderful practice, right? What I'm playing with here is different. It's not about focusing attention on any one thing. It's about awakening to the whole thing. Okay? There is a whole body here lost in thought. We don't experience it. And what I mean by experiencing, this goes to the somatic part. On every part of the body, down to the smallest cell, if we just give ourselves permission to feel it, there's this tingling, kind of buzzing, kind of vibrating. Well, I can send invitations, it awakens, and then just relaxing. And all of a sudden, I move from a consciousness of lost in thought into one present in this, what I call the shimmer. And that's a lot of awakening.
Would you say it's more of a mindful practice? Are you the observer of the thoughts? Where are you with this?
No more. That's a really, really interesting question. This is not about mindfully observing sensations. There is a wonderful Dharma school out of Burma in the tradition of a great teacher, Uba Khin. That's about moving one's awareness. Mindfully through the body, observing sensations. I'm playing with something different here. This isn't about observing sensation. It's about inviting sensation just to come back to felt life. And as soon as it does, greet it, with this gesture of letting go, relaxation, opening. So we're not just sitting here observing. And the more I feel, the more it will.
So somebody has pain in their body. Okay, they got pain in their body, and they're now like observing the pain in their body. And what do you do with that?
Okay, so you can observe pain till the cow comes home, what you want to do is, and you know, unpleasant sensation is one of my summoners. You know, wherever there's unpleasant sensation, that's the life force saying, come here, come here, let's pay some attention here. You know what I think about is chronic pain. That's like the somatic body-oriented version of a black hole in astronomy. And what it's done, it's sucked out all the sensation that we're talking about, because usually there's pain, whoops, surrounded by numbness, okay? And there's no motion there. So in dealing with, you know, with chronic pain, for me, it's to go into that place and get that. You know what it's doing? It's resisting something that wants to feel its way awake, not only in sensation, but you also want motion there. People really examine chronic pain. It doesn't move. And so part of the somatic awakening, bringing this awareness to life, and then getting that you can just sort of play with balancing. It's kind of something that you do, and everything just starts moving.
Okay. You know, in the book, you talk about the line, and what is the line, and why is that essential for sitting meditation?
Okay, so look, the line, out of all the structural coordinates out there, right, there's one, you capitalize it, call it the line. It's the axis of verticality, okay? So, you know, remember, my teacher was Ida Rolf, and in the early days, what that practice was about was this evolutionary transformation, a real awakening through playing with what she called the line, that you start playing with balancing. It becomes almost like a dance. Why? Because you can let go. You can let go totally there. Energy start awakening. The body starts moving. If I'm holding myself very still, I can't let go. And if my structure deviates from here, I really can't let go because I'd fall on my face. So that's the first thing that I bring into the practice of sitting meditation. Sit down and just start playing with the idea of sitting. It's about sitting. It's not about then using, for me anyway, about using the mind to focus on anything. It's about how can I sit in a way that is the most comfortable. And it all has to do with playing with this kind of dance of dancing. It's spontaneous.
Listen, I want to bring James into this conversation. I know every time we do, we have this little.
I got, you know what? I have to say something, because you keep talking about how sitting still is, you know, blocking energy. I had a neck injury, a neck surgery a number of years ago. And as I, you know, was recovering from this, obviously sitting was one of the most, you know, impossible positions for me to get into. Sitting still was certainly out of the question. And you talk about this line now. It just triggered something. As I was recovering from my neck surgery, I could barely stand. I could not stand still. I was always swaying. I never fell, but I was always finding that line. And that was more, this was more comfortable for me to be always rocking than to try to stand still. And man, when you said that, it just hit a light for me. So I believe this.
Cool, man. And James, you know what I get? This, there's this sense of the line that, look, it's not a fence post, because what playing with it does, like you say, it's very natural. You know, I was a kid, I balanced a broom upside down in my hand, but yeah. My hand was always moving slightly, right? And the same thing here, when I play with balancing, in sitting out, to me, the meditation somatic, it's about sitting. I don't sit down to start the meditation. The sitting, it's like kind of crazily a dance form of subtle letting go, that the body just keeps spontaneously balancing itself more and more, and then you're called upon or given it the opportunity as sensation keeps arising. Because when I'm holding myself like this, the shimmer isn't going to happen. But as sensation keeps arising here, it's, you know, more and more letting go, and more sensation comes to the surface. But then you can just relax and realize, it motivates. It's like a a force. I call it the current of the life force. It just starts unraveling you.
Well, listen, I'm loving this conversation, and I do have to take a break. But when we come back, Will, I want you to answer this. Think about this. Why do you think the somatic approach is such a radical departure from a lot of the other forms of practice that are coming around in Asia? I know you touched on that a little bit, but I'd like to really take a deep dive into that and have my audience understand. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Will, okay, so why is this such a radical approach? Why do you say that?
Yeah, because I think this is one of Buddhism's shadows coming over from Asia that it's become so mind-focused and the posture is so still. I call it the stone garden statue, the Buddha posture. Long retreats, we're told, to sit as still as possible. That stillness, what the Dharma also makes a lot about is this notion of love, loving kindness, sharing the benefits of your practice with others. Sitting like a stone garden statue, the Buddha, is neither loving nor kind to yourself. Sitting like this tension, you just squelch the body. Look, one thing, if you're just going to do a mind-focused practice, sometimes you just have to throw a suffocating blanket over the body, because when body awakens along the lines that we've been talking about here, you're really in a global awareness. You can't stay concentrated or focused. So for me, the practice is about remembering to be kind and love yourself. And, what James was talking about, he was, healing. You can see often when I'm sitting here talking to you guys, there's this kind of swaying that occurs. Am I doing that? I don't think so. Am I allowing that? Because when I let go, that's what happens. I think so.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring a new approach, and I want to bring James into this in a second here, but I think you bring a new approach. I personally don't experience what you've experienced, and so many have experienced that, it's very difficult to sit for long periods of time. I do meditations for up to 8 hours. So I've trained my body how to be in that space and be comfortable with no tension in the body at all, zero, relax completely and be able to transcend the body, transcend the mind, and go into, again, higher states of consciousness. But everybody can't do that. That's what I love about this conversation. And so I know James got some questions for you. James, I want to bring you into this conversation.
Hello. 100%. There's one question I'm dying to ask.
Yeah.
You mentioned this before, and I believe it was integral to the initiation of the starting process of me wanting to, you know, heal myself and help myself. And that's pain. For me, it was a neck injury, a brain tumor first, and then a neck injury. So brain pain and then body pain through the neck. You talked about your pain in childhood. I think that's what started your journey early, and I just wanted to touch upon that. What was that, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, well, you know, childhood confusions. I was having large experiences at night, but I was opening into something that didn't seem like my friends were. And then, you know, just the whole growing up through adolescence, it's so hard for all of us, you know, the awakening of sexual energies, attractions to women, in my case. I was very mindy. So scholastics, you know, I was into that, trying to do well. I played guitar all my life, right? And then, you know, as I'm getting older and everybody is clear what they want to do with their lives, I wasn't, because I felt it was like, what do I call this sometimes? Like a psychic version of the itch of a phantom limb. You know, something was there going, no, wait a minute. There's something in the body that wants to come through that isn't coming through. Or there's something about you who are not living your most authentic self. And how does this work? Now, in terms of, you know, pain itself, what I also, you know, part of the practice that I teach, it's about breathing. It's a very, very deep breath that you can feel touching into every cell of the body, and specifically inhaling. Oh, right up into the areas of holding and pain, because those areas are crying out for your attention. They want to, you know, you want to love into them. They've been, ooh, they're pain. You don't want to feel them. No. Ah, right into them. You know, in the most relaxed way. Rumi, you know, the Buddha says, as you breathe in through the whole body. That's the culminating instruction. You know, it starts with focusing and remaining aware, right? So these are the two patterns.
Okay, well, we're putting on the screen right now your website, embodiment.net, for my listening audience, embodiment.net. You go out and check Will Johnson. I want to call you Dr. Will Johnson because, you know, someone should give you a PhD for putting this together. hey, listen, you know, in the book, it's talking about Swedenborg's breath. Swedenborg's breath. Why is that essential for waking the body and altering consciousness?
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because this is something that, you know, all the people out there who are, God, what is this guy up to? And how does he do what he does? This is one of the easiest ways to get a sense of what I'm talking about. Emanuel Swedenborg, 18th century Swedish mystic, who the citizens of Uppsala, I think it was where he lived, they all acknowledged this dude is living in some kind of exalted state. Okay. Now look, we know, I was just mentioning breathing through the whole body. We know that we don't do that, right? But Swedenborg didn't know anything about that. You know, it happened contemporaneously with people in France and England. But Swedenborg attributed this awakening that was happening, and it happened to him, to his observation that for him, the real purpose of breath, and get this, was to keep the spinal column in constant undulating motion. So most of us, you know, in our normal condition of consciousness, we take a look at what our spine is doing when we're breathing. It isn't. You know, it might as well be a column in a Roman or a Greek temple. And one simple way to start initiating this opening and awakening through the body that I'm talking about is, as you breathe in, feel how that breath can be felt, almost like a body worker fan from the inside out. Oh, you have to relax, and you just feel the spine. I'm boiling, you know, kind of uncoiling, and then it retracts back down, and it is delicious. when you get that going.
Okay, so I know this about the spine because, well, I'm a physician as well.
Uh-huh.
But nothing teaches you about anatomy better than experiencing an injury to that part of your body. So the spinal fluid does not move on. I mean, there's no propulsion mechanism for the spinal fluid. It only is spread around by your body's movements. So yeah. This undulation that you're talking about is absolutely critical to spinal cord health, and your spine is everything. So
you know, I get that. That's why I play here, because I can let go here. I don't have to brace myself at all. Gravity becomes almost like a sea that you're floating in a little bit, right? So as I play here, I can let go, and this natural condition of being, living on the earth, I can just keep relaxing and relaxing. It just keeps moving, James. It just keeps moving. And like, yeah, spinal fluid, lymph only moves through the body. I think I'm correct about this, through motion. So I was just about to say, when right at the end there, Buddha says, breathe through the whole body. Wim says, bring breath to life. He said, that's the essence of every path of awakening. But he also adds, this is a fart coming, you know, let's let this one in. I don't know. I know that it's a path for awakening. He also adds the cure for everything that causes you dis-ease. And I think about that sometimes. I think about it with lymph and blood. If I have a frozen shoulder and it doesn't move much, the fascial and muscular tissue are going to contract. And I would imagine that there can't be as free a flow of liquids, you know, blood and lymph through that. So, breathing into these held places and resurrecting the motion that the black hole of pain has taken, it has to be helpful.
No, I can't. Well, first of all, you are absolutely correct that lymph only moves through movement. And beyond that, most of the blood return from your body depends on muscular contraction. So you need the best way to get blood to and through the body and to your brain is actually by moving. So, you know, boom, 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 medically supported, across the board, check, check, check. So
well, yeah.
I applaud you. You've helped everything.
You know, that's cool. And one thing to get across, this quality of movement, well, it's partly sourced by the breath. Just letting go that way. It's the deepest relaxed thing. I mean, I'm not trying to breathe. It's just, a moment of letting go. It's also, there is something that happens in human bodies. When we relax this deeply, everything just stays subtly moving, expanding, contracting, you know, on the breath. And it's interesting, Ken. This breath opens big. My guess is that some of your extraordinary experiences, your breath might have almost even stopped. Am I correct?
In my practices, the breath does stop.
Yeah.
And you go into ecstatic states. And, you know, it's not for me, it's not about ecstatic states. It's not about phenomena. It's not about any of that. What it is this sense of reconnecting with myself, re-remembering myself, reconnecting with the soul, the spirit. And, you know, it the practice of meditation, of what it does is it enlivens the spirit. And, you know, for me, I wasn't much of an intuitive guy in early on, but after meditation practice for years, you know, it took a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel the oneness connect with everybody, and I'm always tuning into everybody's thoughts, and they're tuning into mine, and, you know, and it's a wonderful world we live in. We live in a world of oneness. We're all connected here, and in meditation is one of the ways we get back to that oneness of the divine essence of who we are. So that's my experience, and I'm so happy you've written this book. I want to put it back on the screen here for our audience real quick. And, you know, I want to encourage my audience, you know, if you're having any difficult with stillness meditation, this sounds like a wonderful alternative to go out and go do that. And so it's The Radical Path of Somatic Dharma. It's written by Will Johnson. I'm saying that for my my listening audience. And you can get it on Amazon and anywhere great books are sold. But what a wonderful time to, you know, the world is going through so much chaos, right? You don't have to be part of the world's chaos. You can actually tune back in, you know, turn out, tune in. They used to say that in our day. Turn out, you know, tune in and experience that bliss, that joy, that happiness. Reconnect with your soul. It just, life gets better when that happens. Will, we're almost out of time. Final thoughts here for you.
Yeah, well, interesting. I think the thing that I would share was this whole notion of courage. And I've been thinking about that with you. You know, it took me many long decades to summon up the courage to shun what I started experiencing as some of Buddhism's shadows. It's very, very still posture, so I could start really experiencing its light. And I think all of us, we're all finding our own way. You know, Ken, what you're talking about is mind-bogglingly cool. And James, what you're talking about, same thing. You know, this is a path for people, that are, for whatever reason, very body-oriented. We're all different. And beautiful beings. Nice to do this with you both.
So thank you so much for being here, Will. James, final thoughts? Oops, wait, you're muted there, James. There you go. Go ahead.
Let's try that. First of all, I can't tell you how much fun today was. Will, you are a light being, and you are radiating that upon others, and I can't thank you enough for that. I believe that as a I didn't think that was important before my journey. But as I get older and as I've experienced that pain, all I want to do is alleviate that in others. So I think that I applaud you for doing that in your own way. Again, had a great time. And thank you, Ken, for having me back.
So much fun. Thank you, James. Thank you, Will. And thank all of you for being here today with the Heal It Show. We ask that you, again, go to our YouTube channel. It'll be the best thing you've ever done is be able to go there and subscribe to our YouTube channel there at youtube.com/TheCourageNetwork to get all of our shows, plus our other show up there is The Voices of Courage is there. You could be able to check that out also. And like I said, you'd be able to pass this on to family and friends that would really benefit from you sharing this with them. So until next time. Continue to look for those areas in your life that you're choosing to heal, to grow, to evolve. And when you do, what's going to happen? Your life's going to get better and better and richer and richer and have more happiness, bliss, and joy. Take care. Till next time.